Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 31st, 2023, 1 John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, then rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is the September-October Israel My Glory put out by the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And I have told you about, in the past, about the sound doctrinal communicators that have been serving in the Ukraine. Jim Meyer has been serving in the Ukraine for over 40 years. He is a sound doctrinal communicator and missionary to the Ukraine. He has established Bible schools there. He has trained and prepared men with the gift of pastor-teacher, and there are several sound doctrinal pastors throughout the Ukraine because of Jim Meyer and his ministry there in the Ukraine. And Mark Musser as well. Mark Musser has been there and has helped in the training of communicators of the Word of God. The Ukraine has many, many mature believers. A pivot of mature believers. Todd Kennedy, who is one of our doctrinal groups at Dallas Seminary and pastor of Spokane Bible Church, he went to the Ukraine several times in teaching and training the communicators of the Word of God there. Well, not only are Jim Meyer and Mark Musser and pastors like Todd Kennedy, who is phenomenal, sound, doctrinal Bible teacher, but the Friends of Israel are also there in the Ukraine as we speak. And in this recent issue, they had this article, Giving Thanks in Wartime. It says, more than a year has passed since the war in Ukraine began. A year, more than a year. The Russians thought that they would destroy the Ukrainians and win this in weeks, in a week or 2 weeks at the most. It's been over a year. And that is a miracle. That is the wall of fire that the Lord Jesus Christ has put around the people there in that nation. And I've encouraged you again and again to hold them up in prayer, to pray for them. More than a year has passed since the war in Ukraine began, and Russia has been increasing its bombardments on Western Ukrainian cities. Our Eastern European teams are facing immense challenges as they minister to those in the Ukraine going through such suffering. Throughout the entire conflict, our workers have consistently put themselves in harm's way to show the love of Christ to the Ukrainian people, refugees, and those hit hardest by this war, both Jews and Gentiles. Thank you to all of you who consistently hold them up in prayer. Tediana Kritenko, our worker from Kiev, Ukraine, recently she sent this note for our American supporters and ministry partners. She says, quote, for me, 1 year has been like 10 years. Approximately 7 million Ukrainians now live abroad, most of them in Poland. We also have a huge scale migration of people within the Ukraine from the east to the west. Electricity and other utilities are subject to frequent outages and shutdowns. When items we need are available in the stores, which is rarely, they are often so expensive that the people can't afford them. It's hard to believe the Ukraine has been the breadbasket of Europe forever. And now we can't afford what little food we produce. I'm so grateful that through Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, we are able to meet some of these basic needs. However, today, I would like to share my gratitude for you and for all of those in Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry, everyone who prays and continues to pray for us. Ukrainians here don't know all of you who donated and have helped us, but we are extremely grateful. Thank you for bread and light, literally, in Ukrainian homes and synagogues. Thank you for buses out of war zones and plane tickets to Israel for those who wish to immigrate. Thank you for the happy smiles on our children's faces who have lived through these challenges. We have hundreds of reasons to say thank you. We thank God for His protection, the wall of fire around them. They shouldn't even be there. They've been there in war for over a year. They shouldn't be there. But there is a pivot, and I keep trying to tell you that. From the ministries, pick it up. You might need it. We thank God for His protection, the wall of fire, and His provision in the Ukraine. And we thank you for your faithful prayers and support for our workers in the Ukraine. Now you're gonna go home to your house. Most of you have taken your vacations here and there and yonder and ate great food and drank great wine. And you'll go home and get into bed where it's warm in a nice bed and go to sleep. And there are fantastic Christians that are facing the most horrific types of suffering that goes with war. But they have something to fight for. And so remember them, pray for them. Like I said, there have been many doctrinal pastors that have gone over and helped in training the believers there, those with the gift of pastor teacher, those with the gift of evangelism, those missionaries. And these are sound. These are the best of the best of missionaries and their work in the Ukraine. Now, this administration will never understand those things. Well, most Christians in this country don't understand any of those things. But that's the truth and that's the reality. And you, as spiritually adult believers, I want to thank you as well for your faithfulness. Because when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you have a personal love for the Father. And where do all the prayers go? They go to the Father. All prayers are addressed to God the Father. And when you have personal love for God the Father, why, you are motivated to go to Him in prayer and talk to Him day after day after day after day, consistently and faithfully. Why? Because you love God the Father. You're occupied with Jesus Christ. God, the living and true God, is the most important person in your life. And so you're motivated to go to Him in prayer. All right, we are in a great passage in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. This paragraph is over. We're about ready to start the next paragraph, 1 John 4, 7 through 12, where we're going to see the dynamics of impersonal love for all. That's 1 John 4, 7 to 12. But we're still tying up all of the loose ends on this paragraph, 1 John 4, 1 through 6. So let's take a look at the corrected translation. Verse 1, beloved one, that is royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. Verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, true humanity, is from God. He teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. He teaches the deity of Christ. He teaches the true humanity of Christ. He teaches the hypostatic union of Christ. And all of these things were being denied and rejected by the Gnostics in the Apostle John's day. Verse 3. But every persuasive speaker, false teacher, who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus of the God-breathed scriptures, orthodox Christology and soteriology, absolutely is not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist, the Antichrist of the tribulation, you have heard that he is coming. The Apostle John has taught eschatological doctrine again and again and again and again. And they've heard all about the tribulation. They've heard all about the Antichrist and the false prophet. They've learned those things. But now John is saying, but now, right now in the church age, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now, as John was teaching, and right now as I am teaching. Verse 4. You, believers living the spiritual life, you are from God, dear children, students under the authority of the Apostle John as the communicator of the Word of God. And you have overcome them, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. You have cleared the hurdles of momentum testing, specifically people testing, because greater is He who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. Verse 5, they, the false teachers, belong to the cosmic system. Therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, the cosmos, that is those living in the cosmic system, both believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them. They believe them. They follow their false teaching. Verse 6. We and only we, Orthodox pastors teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, we are from the living and true God. The one who has come to know God, personal love for the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ, keeps on listening and learning and obeying the teaching of the Word of God from us, sound doctrinal teachers. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us. He does not learn and obey the teaching of our Word from these sound doctrinal teachers. And by this we have come to know the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth, a special title in the Word of God for God the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Truth. And to distinguish, not only discern between the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, but also the spirit of deception and delusion, and that is false teachers. Well, that's the end of that paragraph, but we still need to pull all of that together. In verse 6, when it says, but the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us, does not learn and obey us, sound doctrinal teaching from God's faithful communicators. The phrase, the one who is not from God, is referring to the believer. John talking about believers. All throughout 1 John, he is talking about believers. Believers out of fellowship with God, believers living in Satan's cosmic system, believers in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. This epistle is talking about believers. So that phrase in verse 6, the one who is not from God, is referring, John is talking about believers. Believers who are out of fellowship with God. Believers who are out of touch with God. They are not under the influence of God the Holy Spirit. There is no spiritual life in their life. There's no filling of the Spirit. There's no teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. This believer rejects the authority of God, rejects the authority of the Word of God, and rejects the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. And such a person, well, he could be a believer or an unbeliever, but not here. The Apostle John in this epistle is referring to believers living in Satan's cosmic system. Positive or negative volition to Bible doctrine is determined by where the believer is living. Positive volition to Bible doctrine, he's living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Negative volition to Bible doctrine, he is living in Satan's cosmic system. Interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred. Attitude toward sound doctrinal teaching is determined by your priorities in your soul and self-determination. Self-motivation to continue your spiritual momentum and spiritual growth can only exist when you are living the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the grace and by the power of God. However, living in Satan's cosmic system will destroy your self-motivation to learn the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Involvement in the cosmic system means negative volition to Bible doctrine and failure to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in time. And for you, logistical grace provision is wasted on the negative believer living in Satan's cosmic system. Now at the end of verse 6, the end of verse 6 says, by this we have come to know, to understand, to discern the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth is God the Holy Spirit. Special title for God the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. So by this we have come to know, to discern, to understand the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of delusion and deceit, and that of the false teachers. Now we have summarized this, and so far, in 5 points. But that wasn't the all. We're going to go on after 5. Let's review those 5 points. First of all, point 1, God the Holy Spirit has a very special title in the Word of God. He is the Spirit of Truth. John 15:26 says, when the Helper comes, and the Helper, that's the word parakletos, that's used for God the Holy Spirit. When the Helper, the Paraclete, God the Holy Spirit, come, whom I will send to you from the Father, now he tells us who the Helper is. The Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, and he, God the Holy Spirit, will bear witness of me. And that's what we have, that's what John is talking about here. So when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And then we noted also in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 17. Jesus is speaking and he says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. You will obey my mandates. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, another helper, to be with you forever. Who is that helper? The Spirit of Truth, God the Holy Spirit. Now the world cannot accept him because the cosmic system, the world, cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor does it know him. But you know him, for he lives beside you now. That's the endowment of the Spirit in the age of Israel. But he will be in you, the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in the church age. And then we looked over at John 16. John 16, verses 13 and 14. But when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, God the Holy Spirit, when he, the Spirit of Truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So all throughout John chapter 14, 15 to 17, John 15, 26, John 16, 13 and 14, John describes God the Holy Spirit with this special title. He is the Spirit of Truth. Now, here's a deep question. Who is teaching 1 John? Paul? No, John. And John's already taught in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth. This is 1 John. It's the same guy. It's the same guy. Duh. Some of you, I look at you and you got all these Your wrinkled up brow, you're trying to get a thought through. Unwrinkle. John taught the Gospel of John. In John 14, 15 to 17, the Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit. In John 15, 26, the Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit. In John 16, 13 and 14, the Spirit of Truth is the Holy Spirit. Now, we have the Spirit of Truth. Guess what? The same communicator, the Apostle John. So, we noted point one, God the Holy Spirit has a special title. He is the Spirit of Truth. Two, sound doctrinal pastor teachers, communicators of the word, they are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Point three, therefore they are filled with the Spirit. They are empowered by God the Holy Spirit in their study and in their teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. Four, therefore sound doctrinal teachers, the orthodox pastor teacher is functioning under the teaching, illuminating, and recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Truth. Now, for those few males who have the gift of pastor teacher, they are the only ones in the royal family who can go to the Word of God and study and grow. None of you that don't, all of you that do not have the gift of pastor teacher, you can't study on your own and grow. What you will learn, you could put in a thimble. But for those men who have the gift of pastor teacher, who fulfilled the mandate of the Word of God and prepared for the ministry, as they study, they are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. They are filled with the Spirit when they're studying. And as they study, God the Holy Spirit's teaching ministry, illuminating ministry, recalling ministry, leads them into the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then they stand up and then teach by the power of the filling of the Spirit. And for all the rest of you, The only way any of you will grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ is to be under the authority of the spiritual gift of pastor teacher. Now, we got so many goofy things going on out there. We have all these women's Bible studies. I hate to tell you, ladies, none of you have the gift of pastor teacher, but you ought to be going, wahoo! No woman has the gift of pastor teacher. Only male. But here we have all these women's Bible studies and they get together and they, well, what do you think this means? Well, what do you think this means? I don't know. Well, I think it means this. But you got all kinds of different groups, Bible studies. But God designed the local church as a place where believers can assemble and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ under the authority of a prepared, sound, doctrinal pastor teacher. Now, I'll admit, in the days of apostasy and degeneracy in America today, that's not easy to find. But there are a few. I mentioned Todd Kennedy. Todd Kennedy was 2 years ahead of me at Dallas Theological Seminary. He was a part of the doctrinal pastors who were at Dallas Seminary, and he was a good friend, and he excellent Bible teacher. My whole family went to Spokane Bible Church. My mother was there when she was alive. Every day of her life, she was there. She loved Spokane Bible Church. She loved Pastor Todd Kennedy. And she was there day after day after day. My mother grew up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. My mother became, well, just one of the most wonderful ladies you would ever, ever want to be around. And not only her, but the rest of my family and my brothers are still there. One of my brothers is a deacon there. My youngest brother, Dave, and a lot of you know Dave. Dave is a believer who was out on a sailboat and had a metal staff, and the metal pole hit the a power line. He had his foot against that metal power pole, and his hand was in the water, and all the electricity went down through his foot and leg, arm, and out into the water. He was electrocuted. He fell off and went to the bottom of the lake. By the grace of God, there was a man on shore who saw the whole thing happen. He swam out, went down to the bottom, and pulled my brother up off the bottom of the lake and took him ashore. It just so happened there was an emergency vehicle in the area that came and got him and took him to a hospital. It just so happened that at the hospital was the expert in burns and electrocution. And deal with him. They told him he had a 30% chance of living. And the doctor came in and told them, we're going to have to amputate your leg and amputate your arm. And the doctor thought that, the doctor knew. Actually, the doctor was a believer and a Christian. He knew Dave. Well, the other people at the hospital thought that Dave would not be able to handle the fact he was going to have his leg and arm amputated, so they sent in a goofball psychiatrist. Sent in, and Dave told him, I am totally fine. I know they're going to have to amputate my leg and amputate my arm. I'm totally fine. So please, I don't need you at all. And when he left, when he got the doctor to come in, he said, don't ever send in any more of those shrinks in here. He said, I am totally fine. He said, this is God's will. It's God's will for me to have one leg amputated, one arm amputated. And that's the will of God. He calls the shots. His plan is perfect. He is infinitely fair. This is His plan for my life. So, I'm totally, totally fine. But you see, my brother was a mature believer. This is one of the categories of suffering for blessing he went through. And by the way, he's still going through. He had that arm and leg amputated. I don't know, it's been about 20 years now. They told him after 10 years he would have to have his other leg amputated. And he still has it, but he has a sore on that other leg, and they're dealing with it. If they can heal it, he'll keep the one leg he has left. If not, they'll amputate that one too. He is a deacon in Spokane Bible Church. He is a winner believer, and I love him to death. He is phenomenal. And my other brother, Mike, an Army Airborne Ranger. He and his wife attend Spokane Bible Church as well. These are all mature believers. So the pastor there Todd Kennedy has got to the point where he had to retire, but they brought in another sound doctrinal Bible teacher that's doing a great, great job there at Spokane Bible Church. So point four, therefore, the sound doctrinal teacher, the orthodox pastor teacher, is functioning under the teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Point five, in his study and teaching of the Word of God, talking about the sound doctrinal pastor teacher, God the Holy Spirit empowers him, teaches him, illuminates truth to him, and recalls truth to him. The Spirit of truth. So in that sound pastor teacher, in his study and teaching of the Word of God, God the Holy Spirit empowers him, teaches him, illuminates truth to him, and recalls truth to him. Six. We only study 5.6. Some of you don't know what to do unless I say 6 or 7. 6. All believers are weak. All believers are weak and are either influenced by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, or by the ruler of this world, Satan, and his false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. All believers are weak and are either influenced by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, or by the ruler of this world, Satan, and false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. 7. You have a free will. We all have a free will. We all have a volition. So it's up to you. I can't make anybody do anything. Well, my wife. Sometimes. No, she's not in here. That's not fair. By the way, I have been so blessed to have the wife that I have. She is phenomenal. The best of the best of the best of the best. You don't understand. You all don't understand. She does. I study and teach the Bible. And when I get up in the morning, I get up first and push the button on the coffee pot. Thank you. And she does everything. Everything. Millions of things. You talk about a helper corresponding to the husband. She is the best helper corresponding to a husband of all. Now you have a volition. It's up to you. You can choose to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, live your life by the grace and power of God, or you can choose to live in Satan's cosmic system. It's up to you. I'm not here to browbeat you and make you do this or make you do that or anything else. You're free to come. You're free not to come. You're free to be here every time the Word of God is taught for face-to-face teaching, or you're free to not be here. That's totally up to you. You have a volition and a free will. I can't make anyone do anything. All I do is teach you what the Bible says. Now you take it from there. 8, you can't live the spiritual life and live in Satan's cosmic system at the same time. You can't live the spiritual life and live in Satan's cosmic system at the same time. You're either in one or the other. 9. The only way the believer can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life and glorify God is to live this unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and by the power of God. Not your power, God's power. The only way the believer can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for his life and glorify God is to live this unique spiritual life of the church age by the grace and by the power of God. 10. The spiritual life that God has given us in the church age is a supernatural way of life. Supernatural way of life, and therefore demands supernatural power for its execution. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number 1 and number 2, and the power of metabolized doctrine in the heart. Eleven, believers living in Satan's cosmic system cannot be distinguished from unbelievers. Believers living in Satan's cosmic system cannot be distinguished from unbelievers. Twelve, believers living in the cosmic system are not living the spiritual life, and they are not fulfilling the plan of God for their life. And that's sad. But that's what John is writing about in this paragraph and in 1 John 4:6, when he says, but the one who is not from God, and he's talking about believers, absolutely does not listen to us, sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. And by this we have come to know the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error or delusion and deception, false teachers. All right, now that brings us to the next paragraph, 1 John 4:7-12, where we have the dynamics of impersonal love for all. What's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life of the church age? To have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Virtue love includes personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ. These are the two great motivational virtues. When you have this personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, that will motivate you to have the great functional virtue, which is impersonal love for all. But first of all, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, which motivates impersonal love for all. And now we are in the paragraph, the dynamics of impersonal love for all. 1 John 4:7 starts out, beloved, let us love one another. That's impersonal love for all. So now we're getting into this paragraph on the dynamics of impersonal love for all. We have the vocative plural of the verbal adjective agapetos plus the present active subjunctive of the verb agapao, plus the accusative plural of the reciprocal pronoun allelon. Agapetos. Looks like that in the Greek, A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S. Agapetos. Agapetos is a verbal adjective. It's in the vocative case, and the vocative is the vocative of address. So a couple of things. One, agapetos literally means, or is literally translated, dear or beloved. Dear or beloved. Two, in the New Testament scriptures, agapetos indicates a very close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. So this is a special word, and in the New Testament scriptures it indicates a very close relationship between the living and true God and His royal family, the church age believer. Three, we are not simply family of God through regeneration, like all of the Old Testament believers. All the Old Testament believers enjoyed regeneration. They were born again, and they were family of God. But we are not simply family of God through regeneration like Old Testament believers. Rather, we are royal family of God. Royal family of God. Because at that moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit enters us into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. That's our Sunday class, Romans chapter 6, the greatest chapter in the Word of God on the doctrine of the baptism of the Spirit. So we are not simply family of God, rather we are royal family of God through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Four, we are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. At the moment of our faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ has a special title. He is the one that the Father loves. Turn over to Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Ephesians 1 verse 3, worthy of praise and glorification, the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He elected us to privilege in Him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In virtue love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, by means of which grace He pursues us with grace in the one He loves, in union with Jesus Christ. In the one He loves. Five, therefore we are very different from believers of any other dispensation of human history. Therefore we are very different from believers of any other dispensation of human history. Six, God the Father loves the Lord Jesus Christ with infinite personal love. The Father loves the Lord Jesus Christ with infinite personal love. And we, church age believers, were in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Therefore, God the Father loves us with infinite personal love. He loved each one of you with infinite personal love. Why? Because you're in union with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He loved with infinite personal love. God the Father loves the Lord Jesus Christ with infinite personal love, and we, church age believers, are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, and therefore God loves us with infinite personal love. 7. As royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Spirit, we have a very close relationship with the living and true God that is absolutely unique. As royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a very close relationship with the living and true God that is absolutely unique. 8. To whom much is given. Beloved, royal family of God, much is required. To whom much is given, much is required. 9. With all the privileges and blessings that God has given us, there goes great responsibility. With all the privileges and blessings that God has given to us, there goes great responsibility. And then we have agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O, agapao. Agapao is generally translated to love. It is a verb that's used by the Apostle John to describe virtue love. And in our verse, to love one another, it is impersonal love for all. So to love one another, because we have the reciprocal pronoun, allelon, looks like that in the Greek, A-L-L. Long E, L, long O, N, allelon. That's a reciprocal pronoun. It means each other and one another. And that reciprocal pronoun with agapao says to love one another with impersonal love for all. The great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. That's what we're going to be studying, the dynamics of impersonal love for all in verses 7 to 12. The present tense has linear action start, keep on loving one another with impersonal love. The active voice, the royal family of God, all church age believers are to perform the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood is a hortatory subjunctive. It presents an exhortation, a mandate in the first person plural, and you translate it, let us. 2. It is correctly translated, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. Let us love one another with impersonal love for all. 3. This is a mandate for the beloved. For every member of the royal family of God in union with Christ. And the mandate is to love one another with impersonal love for all. Beloved, royal family of God in Union with Christ. That's you. That's every one of you in the church age. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ. Let us, this is a mandate, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. All right, so we start right out with a mandate, hortatory subjunctive. And we'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay.